Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment in the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system.
My name is Lindsay Black, affectionately known as Miss Black.
And I'm Hattie Hot. Mr. Bruce, sorry if you're feeling, I'm feeling motivated this week, Lindz.
I love when you have like a strong positive word.
I'm feeling motivated. Although there's been a lot going on, I am happy because my DC voter registration card came in the mail. And as y'all know, I moved recently, and so I did a change of address just so that I can make sure that I am voting in the right area and all that good stuff. And it's funny because for so long, I was still registered as a voter in California. And at a certain point, I just was like, you know what? Like, I gotta
be an adult. Yeah. Give it up, Delicious. You look like a man.
Right. But yeah. And honestly, people, please make sure that you are registered to vote. Like, that is, it is so, 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 so important. And there's actually going to be a link on our Linktree, link in our bio, for you to check to make sure that you are registered to vote.
Woohoo!
So what's going on with you, though?
I am feeling a couple things. I just feel kind of, I feel good.
Yes.
Shout out to Marvin. He came and put my desk together.
Yes.
But really shout out to the people that donated to Miss Black's virtual classroom, because I was able to get a standing desk, which is really going to be super great for me ergonomically, because y'all, I'm hunched over and not the cute, not, it don't look cute.
You see my office setup.
Like, so. It's like Hunchback of Notre Dame over here, and I'm not with it.
You and me both.
So I think I'll feel better when everything's like put together. I've been trying to just like get through stuff and get back into a routine. I think I'm more in a routine. It's just a lot with virtual teaching and trying to figure out like how to really teach the content, and then kids aren't doing the work. And okay, you're not doing the work, but my issue with you not doing the work is that I don't know what you know.
Right.
But I know that you're getting something, because some people that do the work, I'm like, oh, wait, you're getting 100%. Oh, you got it. Okay. So it's motivating, but like, I don't have any motivation because I don't know how you're doing. And it really bothered, like, it bothers my spirit for like me to be in front of kids and be talking and you don't understand anything. Like, I'm like, I'm like, why you didn't tell me? Because, you know, I'm with all shits. Like, you're going to understand it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't understand it at all today, it'll be 25% by the end of the day, and then hopefully 100% by the end of the week. But if you don't tell me you don't know anything, you don't do your work, I don't know if you know, then I'm operating off of assumption, and that's a crazy feeling. But
that's,
we're trying to make it.
You're doing it.
We're trying to make it. Yeah.
You're doing it.
We're doing it.
And I know this virtual teaching stuff is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But here we are.
Here we are. We wanted to just take some time and thank you. Want to thank the listeners, the avid listeners, the subscribers, the people who classify themselves as education advocates after listening to our podcast. Thank you so much, because we're like a couple months in and we just couldn't have done this without the support of everybody. And then, you know, just a reminder to follow us. Follow us on Instagram at MamaLens22 over here. And at Hottie Hot with Hottie. We also have a Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at TRP Advocates. You know, if you hear something in the episode and you want to just like, I don't know, just regurgitate what you heard and then tweet us. That's what it is when you do Twitter, right?
Yep,
okay, great.
You got it.
Perfect. Just go ahead and do that so we can extend this conversation beyond just where you are listening from right now. And things to look out for. We're about to close out this season, y'all. We've been going hard since January 20th. We've been consistent, and we have some things to look forward to. We will be coming out with the website. We have some holiday specials that I'm sure you will enjoy. There are ways to donate to teachers. We're about to have an Instagram page for the Reformist Pipeline. A lot of people have been asking about that. Okay. And then we're going to schedule a couple more lives. We got a lot of good feedback with people on our lives. Just an easy access point for y'all. So there's a lot to look forward to. Thank you for listening. Continue to tell people about us, and we hope that you enjoy what we have in store. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. He is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor. And he is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life,
Tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Kea on YouTube at Kiana Cole. Let me spell it out for you. K-I-A-N-A-C-O-L-E. You can also find Kicking It With Kea on Instagram at Kicking It With Kea _. I'm going to spell that out for you too. K-I-C-K-I-N-I-T-W-I-T-H-K-I_. Join Kea so you can also live your very best life.
It's time for terminology time, where we define a term that has to deal with some aspect of education. This week, our term is implicit bias. Implicit bias is when you have a preference towards a person or a group of people that you may not be aware of, rather than being neutral. We use this term to describe our attitudes towards people or associate different stereotypes with them without our conscious knowledge. This may look like teachers not giving students a fair shot of something that they may or may not be interested in, even though that student is actually very passionate about, maybe let's say basketball or coloring, for instance. But the idea here is making sure that you check your implicit bias. We'll get into a little bit more about that later on today.
In our next segment, two sets of notes. And if you're an avid listener, you already know that this is where we highlight something that's going on currently. And then we give you our lens of what our experience is about it as an educator. So I'm going to talk about the Breonna Taylor situation and the death of this beautiful Black woman. I'm not going to speak much about it because I feel like this should be a home term at this point, but Breonna Taylor was shot in her home by police officers and has not been served any justice. As a Black woman, as Lindsay Black, I've gotten really good at being emotionally detached from things, and I'll just be like, I don't feel like dealing with it. So I haven't really dealt with the emotions of it yet. Like I see it on Instagram. I just wasn't on Instagram. Like, my mom had called me and I'm irritated that she's calling me and she's in distress. And I'm like, I just don't want to talk about it. Like, it's not much for me to talk about right now. And then it happened in the middle of the work week. So that was also trash. So we had a morning huddle with our seventh grade team, and we got through the huddle. Like, my grade level chair is a Black woman. We just went through the huddle. I feel like even though it's virtual, everyone was like, we just don't feel like talking about it. Mm-hmm. Right. We just don't need to talk about it. We don't feel like talking about it. Then we have an admin who's in there, right? He ends with a couple words, and he's a white man. He starts with, he's just addressing the issue. Mm-hmm. Like, you shouldn't be the first one to address the issue. Right. Or maybe you think you should, but in that moment, I didn't need that. And he's talking about like, hey, we know what happened. It's very, very unfortunate, right? And you could tell that he's trying to be sincere. And he's like, you know, if the kids need to talk about it, make sure they have a space to talk about it, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, oh, and if you guys need to talk about it, then, you know, we're always here to lend a listening ear. And to me, I was like, you guys, what do you mean you guys? You mean Black women or do you mean Black people? Because it's two different things. Right. I'm not taking this away from Black men, mm-hmm. but it's totally different to be a Black woman right now and to have heard that. Absolutely. And then on top of that, my other thing was like, so you didn't ask us about how we felt about it. You didn't start with, how are you guys feeling? But you want me to go into this classroom and make sure I'm ready to talk to kids about it. I don't want to talk about it. I did not talk about it with any class because I just didn't want to talk about it. Yeah. I'm going to start crying. I'm not going to be able to teach. Today, I just wanted to teach.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to do. And I didn't want to bring it up at all. We were this close to cutting off the Zoom. So it's just frustrating that teachers are always expected to be psychologists and talk to kids about these issues. Like, it's hard for me to get my stuff together. I'm a Scorpio moon. I'm a very emotional person, even though I don't always present that way. It's difficult. Yeah. So that was one way. And then we were supposed to have a staff meeting at the end of the day. My principal is a Black man, right? He just sends us a message. He didn't even say Breonna Taylor's name. He was just like, you know, stuff that happened in Kentucky last night. I know it's a lot for some people in the way that we're going to acknowledge it. We're just going to cancel the staff meeting. Thank you. Like, you knew that we didn't need you to tell us what it was, right? And you were like, I felt like he was being mindful of being triggering. And it's like, this might be triggering. We're canceling the meeting.
Right.
Not at 8:30 in the morning. You're talking about be open and to talk about it with the kids. That's how I know you don't understand.
Yeah.
So that was my two sets of notes, and may Breonna Taylor's soul rest in peace. And we're still going to be thinking about you. We're still going to be fighting for you. They turned it up.
Yeah.
They turning it up right now.
Shout out to everybody that's out there doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Our concept development, the actual meat of the episode, is created around an article that Hadi and I found very intriguing from the Hechinger Report. And if you don't know what that is, it's a national nonprofit newsroom that reports on one topic, education. The article is entitled Black White Disparities in Education Correlate with Teachers' Implicit Biases, but it will take more than education reform to solve the issue. The article is all about fully addressing educators' biases within our system. And so we're just going to dig into our opinion around the article and some observations that we made. So Hadi, do you think that, you know, the content of the article is true? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so glad that we're talking about this. But before we even jump in, I do want to say, like, I'm glad that we talked about implicit bias in terminology time today. But I've been having a conversation with like a lot of people. I'm starting to learn that I hate new terms. And not saying that that I don't want to learn them. I just don't like for us to be like making these gaudy terms that like take away from the actual meaning of what we're supposed to be learning.
You hate when white people use these terms and abuse them because they know that they're supposed to say it.
And it's like, no, well, this is the same thing that we've been talking about. Thank you, right. That was definitely needed. And this is the same stuff that we've been talking about for the longest time. And y'all are just trying to redefine.
But literally.
I don't like that.
Literally. And we could even talk, for talking about implicit biases, we could talk about related to this whole movement around anti-racist teaching, anti-racist reform, and how like black people, I feel like black people that I teach with have been trying to do this anti-racist work because we have to rework the curriculum that you have given us, right?
Exactly.
And the implicit biases that are found in what I've just talked about is the fact that our curriculum is not tailored to black students. Like
at all.
When we worked at that one school where we met, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a question somewhere about a creek. Right. There was like a test question about a creek. And I was like, well, this isn't culturally relevant because our kids don't live next to a creek. So if it's about it's something about there's three frogs in a creek and a creek and five more frogs come.
Right.
The kids are stuck on the word creek. But white people are implementing what they believe.
Exactly.
Right. Or projecting their Eurocentric lens and thinking that everybody knows that.
Yep.
So which goes back to the report talking about how implicit biases disenfranchise black students.
And so, and they do. And I completely agree with this report. And I think that this built onto a lot of what we've been saying for the majority of the season is talking about like how black students need black teachers. And the reason why is because, just like you said, you got content where students are going to be struggling. You know that they're going to struggle on that creek word as opposed to getting past that word and getting to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not even get into like the decoding. Like there's just so much that goes into it. But let's jump in. I think like one of the biggest kind of observations that I had is just looking at how the disparities in test achievement and suspension rates between black and white youth were in counties where teachers hold stronger pro-white / anti-black biases. I think that we know this.
They were definitely higher.
Absolutely. Higher. We know that, just like you said, teachers are put in this predicament of always teaching this white content as opposed to teaching black content. And I was like, oh, love it. Actually, talked to this amazing educator who was telling me about how he was taking Shakespeare a play and comparing it to different rap artists' lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Hamilton.
And I'm like, I love that. I love that. Like, that's what our kids need. And like, if we were to change our approach to what education looks like, I think that our students would be a lot more willing to learn.
And it's interesting because I'm going to tie this back to how you said you basically said you hate buzzwords in the education system, right?
Exactly.
And like at least like the connotation of buzzwords.
Right.
But that goes back to people like to use the word like access prior knowledge or like culturally relevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to access prior knowledge related to something that they know. So that's what the educator you're speaking about, I'm going to relate this new content, right, that I have to teach. Because I think everybody should know about Shakespeare. Like, absolutely. I think Shakespeare influences, like, cross cultures, right?
Yes.
But the way that that person accessed the prior knowledge is I'm going to relate it to something that you're currently listening to. So now I have your buy-in, and now you feel like there's an easy access point. Like, there's what is it? Is it a low ceiling, high floor?
That sounds familiar.
I know, it's another buzz term, but it's basically like, no, that might be wrong. But anyways, the concept is that there it's an easy access point for students to get into, right? And then there's an easy access point. Maybe it's low floor, high ceiling. Maybe it's low floor, high ceiling. Easy access point for students to get into, but then the people, students that already have the access to get into it are can still reach like the high point because everybody can actually fit in this room.
Exactly.
Right? Because you're able to access the prior knowledge. I think what was interesting about the Hechinger report is that this report is actually the first, one of the first reports where they have like actual quantitative data and they use an assessment piece called the IAT, the white black IAT. No, yeah. But they actually were using an assessment instead of like, you know, black people have these conversations all the time about implicit biases within the workplace. And white people now are just getting around to it and doing it. You know, it's really hit or miss.
And, and it all boils down to stereotypes. Like there's just different things that just like we were talking about earlier, I think that this is another version of a stereotype, right? Like we're getting to the point to where people are just now coming around and saying, oh, wow, this system really wasn't designed for y'all.
No.
Y'all have to do so much more to get to the point to where we, like where we are at. And I think that that looks specifically, I think about it from my perspective of even me being a student. I think a lot of the content that I was learning, I think about AP US history. I hated AP US history.
I hated history in high school.
Yeah, because it was like, none of this is applicable to me.
No.
And I think that if I could go back, I feel like I would learn, I mean, I would understand all of that content much more, but I think it was because the way that it was being taught to me. Bless Mr. Wylack's heart. Like he tried so hard to get it across to me, but it didn't make any sense because I feel like history as a whole, I couldn't connect with that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't my story. Mm-hmm. Like, and being a second generation American. Second generation American, like my parents were from Belize. So like I would have loved to learn about what was going on in Central America.
Yeah.
And not really knowing about what's going on in the United States. Like,
and no reason for us not to either. If you really think about like all the things that are on the news right now.
Right.
Like, all of it is everywhere else.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're like, we'll see things and like, oh, that makes me sad. Or, oh, you know what? That just reminded me of how they were talking about the people at the border who are like being caged and women women are basically having
the forced sterilization.
Sorry, it's very hard to say. And somebody like I'm seeing so many posts talking about like this is not new. Y'all don't know this is not new.
Right.
Y'all don't know that they've been doing this to women. Like that part. And it's like, if we would have learned about, granted, they did that in America. So that's American history.
Right.
But if we would have learned about actual black history in America and we would have actually learned about what goes on in other countries.
Exactly.
This wouldn't be new information because some people are like shocked that it's happening. And that's what they think their action is to support. Right.
Right.
Is to be shocked and to feel it. But like people that aren't shocked are like, what's the next step? What's the action?
Yes. Yes.
But I would like to note that the Hechinger report, you know, I think that we're saying, you know, we speak from like a very, like an extreme pro-black space. The Hechinger report is stating that people that are more pro-white and more anti-black, those counties have a higher suspension rate, not just all white people.
Right.
I just wanted to make that clear and make sure that translated to the listeners that it's like the more pro-white you are, the less likely you are able to support students. And therefore, the disparities in test achievement increase and the suspension rate increase, not just because you're white. I mean, I'm not going to hold you. Like, it's a rites of passage thing for me because I work in predominantly white spaces. So when there is a white teacher, like, I'm like, trying to figure out if you're doing your job for real, right?
Yeah.
Because more times than not, like, I'm finding fault in what you're doing, or you lack behavior management, and it's not because you're a first year teacher.
Right.
It's because of how you were raised culturally. Like,
exactly.
Y'all are very passive, and like, we need to be very direct, and you need to be assertive and not aggressive, and you don't need to pretend like you can speak in this urban dialect. You don't need to do that. Like, y'all don't need to do extra. You just need to do your job, and you need to seek help when you need it. Like, I had a white teacher a couple years ago. She let the kids curse in class. They're in sixth grade. They're in fifth and sixth grade. Why are you letting them curse in class? There's right. so many other words that they could be using.
Right.
And it's because, like, oh, at my last school, they used to do this. This is way more egregious. I was like, so the bar's in hell? So the bar's in hell. No, the bar's not in hell here, baby. So don't
Absolutely
let that happen
not.
Again.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I like that though. And I think that that's more of that is needed. And at the same time, I don't like putting more on educators than they already mm-hmm. have. And specifically speaking to Black educators, like, I don't think that that should be everybody's lane, right? That's not everybody. Everybody shouldn't have to hold their white educator accountable. But I do think that there right. are ways for us to kind of have these conversations, either with administration, either with, I mean, it's more so administration, but basically getting them to hold the people that work for the school accountable.
That's, yeah. Yeah. It is more so with administration because they need to be able, they need to work on having a conversation with the whites
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Or provide support. Like I had Mr. Craig, JJ, he was a teacher. He's real cool though. Right. Uh-huh. He really like, he knew his science shit, but now, I will say that class was especially crazy, but that class was especially crazy. Huh. And he really had a hard time the entire year trying to manage it. So now everybody else is like collectively trying to join in and the kids just don't respect him.
Yeah.
But it's because you're white.
Right.
Like there may be other things attached to it, but it's because you're white. But shout out to Rachel though. I like Rachel. That's my favorite white teacher. She's a bomb. I will say this. I have experience with white women. Don't get me wrong, I've had several horrible experiences with white women as educators, right? In the classroom. But they're so willing in like a really good space. They're so willing to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you don't have to do that. But then I'm like, you absolutely have to do it.
Absolutely.
I'm not. But when they offer like, okay, you want me to teach you how to use Google Classroom? My math coach yesterday was like, oh, I'll do the independent practice for you. Like I'll create it for you. If like, you know, I have the capacity. I'm like, absolutely. Reparations. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Like we have too much going on. Like we really
Way
do.
Too much.
And woo, Jesus moved. Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Let's not even dig deep because we're going to change the topic. Another piece that was highlighted in the Hechinger report, essentially that a teacher's racial views may also unknowingly influence their perception of students' efforts and behavior, or shift the level of quality feedback provided on student assignments, which is a very interesting point when we think about that, because I think that we all do that, right?
Absolutely.
It's not a white or Black thing.
No, I completely agree.
We might see a certain person and assume something about what they're going to produce.
Yes.
And I know that I've done that before where Big P, he's a student. He's like, why he my height? He was like 5 feet in the fourth grade.
Oh my
he's
gosh.
A bigger dude, right? And he's like really focused in class, really, really like trying to get to the bag. He's really trying to get to the bag because he told me he wanted to be an entrepreneur, right?
I love that.
Yeah. But he would get to recess or get to dismissal and act a fool. I'm like, why are you acting crazy? Like, can you calm down? Can you be more mature? But then I'm like, why am I holding you to a
yes,
higher standard? Like
yes.
I'm adultifying you right now because of your stature. And that is like a bias that I had to constantly check on myself because it's not fair for me to let little Brown, that's the last name, little Brown go ahead and act a fool,
right?
Be silly. Oh, she just being silly, but not let you be silly. Y'all the same age. But in my head, I'm imposing my bias on you because you're larger, you must be older. And when you're older, you act a certain way.
Yes. And like, honestly, this reminds me of, and that was like one of the biggest reasons why I had to kind of leave the classroom and reset, because I felt as if we talk about this narrative of like setting students up for success, but like, you are not setting up a student for success if you are allowing them to get away with behaviors in the classroom that they wouldn't be able to get away with in society.
Everywhere, anywhere.
And that kills me, and it pained me to see those types of situations happening on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And instead of us trying to unpack and get at the root cause of the issue, that being the school and the systems or lack thereof that were supporting these Black students, we would just continue to enable them. Oh, and really? Thinking that suspending, thinking about giving them this voluntary suspension, or and placating.
What is
them.
Voluntary suspension?
So basically, wait, what? So what? You know, like,
who said that?
So suspension rates are like a thing in DC, and so like instead of suspending them formally, certain schools will actually call the parents and say like, oh hey, like we would actually want, we want your child to stay home for X amount of days because of what happened, and the parent has the, they have the right to say yes or no, they don't want to do whatever the school is recommending.
What kind of bullshit is this? I ain't heard this.
It's terrible.
What? But the thing is, so the parent has to write, but the language that this school is using, the school you talk about, for sure, the language they're using, I'm sure, is like, this is your only option. Because parents, this is the other thing we want like parents to do, which is like one of the purposes of the podcast. Like, we want y'all to be aware of like the law, the legislation within the school.
You can't do that.
Because I don't even know if parents really know that we're not doing suspensions. Right. So if parents don't know we're not really doing suspensions anymore, like it's, you gotta like bloody murder. It has to be blood for you to be suspended. If they don't know that and you use the language of, we want to recommend that your child suspended, they're hearing that their child suspended because they don't know what is a recommended suspension.
Exactly.
Oh God, blasphemy.
Exactly. Gosh. No, but that's my issue though. And I think that's, we need to do more. We as an administrators need to do a better job of making sure that they are, if you're truly setting your students up for success, mm-hmm. success, the same thing or the same way that or whatever success looks like inside of the classroom needs to transcend outside of the classroom. And
yeah.
we have to be very real and authentic and like talk about what's going to happen after this student not only leaves the school today, but when they do get older, like it's going to happen.
And what's frustrating about that though, is the only times that we talk about like what it looks like to be a Black adult is mm-hmm. when we're dying.
Absolutely.
Like we never have like a staff meeting around like, I don't know, Zendaya, that's how you say it, nominated for a Grammy, right? Or
Right.
Like, I don't know, I'm not in Oakland. I'm not even from Oakland, but that's something that's like monumental for girls that look like her, for, it could be even monumental for people in the queer community, although it's not somebody who is queer, but somebody that represented that and what the show entailed, you know? And we don't have those types of conversations about the success within the Black community. So we keep talking about, it's like you said it in the last episode, a deficit-based response, basically, yep. right? Like, oh, I'm just trying to get you not to die. Hmm. That's not thriving.
You said, is the bar in hell?
Is the bar in hell? And the bar is in hell.
Right.
So like, you're right. It's difficult. I can see why it's difficult for people to like hold kids to high expectations, right? Because you don't know what the expectation is outside if you're not Black and you have not lived it or you have not experienced or inquired about it.
Exactly.
So you don't know what Black excellence looks like. So you don't even know, like, you don't know my people.
At all.
You don't.
Because we've been learning about yours.
We've been learning about yours. So you don't know my people and the excellence that we are capable of doing, capable of providing, which is why you keep holding me to a small standard, because you're like, I just don't want you to die. Okay.
Yeah, that's and that's a non-starter.
Let me know if you need to talk.
No, I can't
talk
do
about
that.
What? What are we talking about?
Exactly.
With you. Yeah. What am I talking about with you?
Woo! So all that to say, I just really want us to, and this is students who that have special education needs. This is all students that
Everybody.
We're talking about. Black students are capable of achieving and accomplishing so much more than we are letting on, or not we, but as far as the educators give us they don't give us the benefit of the doubt. Assume
Mm-mm.
that you are teaching the next president. Assume that you are teaching that next successful entrepreneur. Assume that. That's the way that you need to walk into the classroom with that mindset, so that student is able to see that in themselves. Because if you operate from the other side of that spectrum, then like you said, the bar is in hell.
Shout out to Sonya. She taught me that phrase.
I like that.
Yeah. Shout out to my roommate.
I like that. I really do. And I think we need to have more conversations about that. But So some solutions, Lens. I think that we were kind of, we've been talking about this, and I feel like this is kind of what
we always talk about this.
About. But I think first and foremost is bringing value to education. Bringing value to education, and I can't say that enough. And I think that value looks different based off of who you are investing in. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, what is value? So specifically at our school, or when we were back in the classroom, I think value would have looked like investing in culturally relevant pedagogy, and more so giving us an opportunity to teach kids about actual, well, go ahead.
I'm going to cut you off because, please. Yes, invest in culturally relevant pedagogy, but the step before that people are forgetting to do is to define the culture.
Yes.
People keep saying culturally relevant pedagogy. You putting a book about a Black kid who just witnessed homicide, right?
Right.
In front of these kids, like in this more affluent area, right? They can't relate to that. That's not part of their culture. Don't assume that hardship with Black students is everybody's culture.
We're not monolithic.
We don't have a conversation about culture. Right. And like, what is our culture here? We talk about classroom culture, but we never talk about like the Black culture and what that looks like. And if we did, then we could definitely do what you're saying.
Right.
And like have culturally relevant pedagogy, but it has to be defined.
And I think that that's the reason why I think we talk about this all the time, about like this community-based kind of idea. Like, you have to really lean in on your community. Your community is so capable, and I don't think that schools do that enough. And reaching out to the different, the barbershop that's down the street, reaching out to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like, they all play a role in your schools, in your students' lives.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we make sure that that's a conversation that's being had, who's doing that work?
Nobody, not the curriculum team.
Here we are.
Not the curriculum team. And then generally, like, to add on to the value, when you value something, you invest in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just investing into a school. And for me, I'm thinking about like finding teachers, right? Finding Black educators.
Yeah.
And I know you always talk about this, like not just hiring Black educators as disciplinarians or like the support team, or like you go to any dean, go to any school, right? And there's a dean, right? And they're supposed to just handle behaviors. They're Black. And it's usually a Black man. Like,
absolutely.
That's all very, very, very intentional. So now y'all figured out what we respond to culturally, as long as it's consequential and it's within discipline.
Yes.
Now you're able to figure that out. But if we had like more Black educators and less TFA, because TFA just like, we will have a full episode on them, right? But these types of programs are not producing teachers that are able to teach in these spaces for a multitude of reasons, right? So I just wanted to make it clear, that's not what we mean when we say invest. Because
it
lacks intentionality. It's just like, hey, there's a need, let me fill it. But clearly you haven't defined the culture.
Right.
So you don't actually know what is needed.
And I think that when we say invest in, I think that this is something I've been a lot more passionate about lately, is invest in these teacher education programs, because that's where it starts. Like, it doesn't have to start at an alternative teaching program. Like, just that idea is even messed up. Like, why are you investing more? Why is there more investments in alternative teaching programs than there are in education, getting teachers to become the best educators that they are?
That's a great question, because I know I was in a traditional teaching teacher preparation program at Howard University in the School of Education. And it was about 11 of us that were elementary ed grads, like 11, like school is already small,
right?
But Howard has thousands and thousands of people, and only 11 walked the stage in 2016 with a degree, a Bachelor of Science in Elementary Education.
That's a problem.
It's a problem that our building was old, right? I mean, a lot of buildings, a few buildings in Howard are old, but like we in the cuts, Dr. Jackson pulling out an overhead projector. Like, why do we have an overhead projector? Yeah. It's 2016.
That's
invest,
very
invest in the program, damn
invest,
it.
Invest, please, invest. Oh, goodness. And then also just, I really do wish, and I know that we talked about this before we move on to the next point, just like the reason why, like the reason behind having same race educators is so important, because I wonder where I would be, and I know I probably get on this soapbox all the time, had I had more Black teachers from K through 12. Like, I just think that, I know that my experiences in the classroom would have been different.
Totally different.
I know that me being upset about something, having that parent or that educator who's a lot more affirming in my identity, they would just understand and get it, as opposed to it being like a, oh my goodness, you go pull a card. That was like one of the favorite sayings of teachers in elementary school. And that used to, it still triggers me even to say pull it right now. Yeah, so we used to have like it was a behavior consequence system. You pull a card, and at the end of the day, I think it was like a red is like, like that. You had a terrible day. Yellow.
They do
like
these in DCPS.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, somebody was doing them at my last school. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it, especially like when kindergartners are like, oh, I'm in the red. I'm like, why? Because I was moving. You're five. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
What are you talking about? I think that's a very good point. And then just like representation. You want to see teachers that look like you. You also want to see us in literature. You want to see us in mathematics.
Absolutely.
Like math, what we know about math came from Black people. It came from the Egyptians.
Yes.
The mathematicians and philosophers that were in Europe went to Egypt to study these things, right? And then brought it back, put their name on it, tagged the Pythagorean theorem together, right? Oh. And then that's what we are learning. And it's crazy to me that like Black people, like there's data to show that like we are overrepresented in remedial math courses on the collegiate level because, I'm not a math person. I'm not a math person. What? Yes, you are. Your ancestor's a math person. Your ancestor made this.
Right.
Who? Somebody told you was a math person. Somebody taught you in a different way, but your ancestor created this. So you are absolutely in your blood.
Literally.
You are a math person. So just knowing that and seeing that, like seeing Black people, but also seeing brown people, seeing Asian people, I can't tell you how much I know about myself from learning from other cultures that are not just white.
Yes. I completely agree with that. Like even like cooking, for instance, I feel like that's one thing that just transcends like all race or a lot of other cultures. And I'm just like, wow, just seeing how many people did cook rice and so many different types of ways. Like that is something that, you know me, I love me some rice and peas, Caribbean. So that's just something that I love. And just seeing that, that's like a traditional dish that transcends across the whole entire Caribbean. But that, oh goodness. I just really wish that we had more opportunities to learn about ourselves.
Wouldn't it be nice?
So I think that another thing that kind of has been perplexing is trying to
So let's get into the last point.
The three or the two?
The three. I don't you know your numbers never make sense to me.
Right. I was like, what the hell is going on?
I think this is good though. We just have a conversation about it, but we're providing Yeah, we kind of talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
That's a good ending point, though.
Yeah, it is, because I feel like it even goes to, like, the, to call it the Breonna Taylor. Okay, so I think... Actually, I don't want to start off with, so I was just going to pick up from here.
Oh, I didn't know what was going on. I thought you were talking. Okay, I'm here.
Another thing that I really want us to make sure that we're practicing, I know that we talked about a little bit of this earlier, but is...
Say it again. Stop saying we talked about it earlier. You said it three times already.
Oh, okay. Something else that we need to do is really make sure that we're being intentional about instilling anti-racist practices and teaching. And what does that look like, right? I want people to know that this isn't limited to the classroom.
It's not.
And if you ask me honestly, it's much bigger than the classroom. And it's ingrained in the systems that we're currently upholding. And it's the reason why Black students aren't achieving at the same rates as white students. And so I know that we talked about this a little earlier today, but we have to vote, people. Like, I know that we kind of are in this space of uncertainty around whether your vote counts, but please show up and vote, and then like we'll make that decision later. But we really need to make sure that we are showing up to the polls, because that every vote counts and every vote goes to, it can help or hurt a whole community. And so I just really want us to make sure that
We're doing it.
In addition to doing it, I think that that's like the first step, but doing the research that we need to make sure, because even hearing how felons and stuff, they aren't able to vote because they may have outstanding balances. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be one of the most unanimous like rights that we have in this country, mm-hmm. is to, so that we can vote. Mm-hmm. And if and they do it intentionally so that we can be even less. So that we can not have the true meaning of being a person in this country. Mm-hmm. And so I just really think that if we were a lot more intentional about not only about our vote, but our spending dollars, it's so much bigger than
it's just... It's bigger than that. And it'll trickle down to the education system.
Absolutely.
I think so too. That's for sure. And I know that I saw something about, somebody tweeted something, not that I have a Twitter, but saw it on Instagram. It was like... you know, people are getting mad at people who don't want to vote for a system that wasn't built for them. Like, why would they want to do that? And I can understand that sentiment, mm-hmm. but we've never seen what could happen when everybody votes. We've never seen, and voting is free.
Yes.
Well free.
Right, yeah.
You know, I have quotation marks. But like, we've never seen what we could do if we all voted. So why would we just negate it? Exactly. And everyone's like, oh, I'm done with this, but you're still involved in capitalism, which is the biggest game in the world. Like, yes. I'm just, unless you're off the grid and you are growing your own food and you're like, you know, producing for yourself, like, I just don't think that we can really outrule voting as a movement. That's, you know, just my opinion. But as we said, just if you're listening right now, if you made it to this end, thank you so much. But remember that all of the issues that we have within education, even if you are an advocate and you are not an educator in the classroom, because our issues within education are not solely based on education reform and they're about what's going on around us, you are involved in what's going on around us. Yep. And so if you make the changes around us, there will be a trickle-down effect and we can have changes within our education system.
This week's call to action is for you to take the Race Implicit Association test. The link is in our bio and the description of this episode. We want you to take this test so that you can see what your biases are. There are several different tests, so make sure that you click the Race Implicit Bias and also see what other biases you may have.
And once you're done with that, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on Instagram. At Hottie Hod, at MamaLens22. We are, like I said earlier, we are going to be coming out with the Reformist Pipeline Instagram, so be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, we do have a Twitter. You can tweet us at TRP Advocates, and you know, let's continue the conversation outside of these platforms. Thank you for listening. Please stand up for educators. Please stand up for Black people. Please stand up and protect Black women.
Protect Black women, y'all. Peace, love, and light.
Hootie hoo!